Many of you have been really sweet, really thoughtful in asking me how my sabbatical was a few weeks ago. At the beginning of February, I decided that I needed to get the heck out of Dodge, as they say. And I did. And we are blessed to have Holy Wisdom Monastery so very close to us. So I booked myself into a hermitage, and I got myself away from all my distractions. And I appreciate the questions. And I have blogged about it. I took a lot of pictures. And today and next Sunday, I'm going to share my experience with you because it was not what I expected. I first want to talk a little bit about King Hezekiah, because this particular scripture, I think, is what drove me toward taking this sabbatical. So King Hezekiah was descended from King David. He's in the royal line that you'll see that shows up in Jesus' royal line. He reformed his nation spiritually. He was a good king. He got rid of the idols in the temple, and he'd seen a lot of things. He had already witnessed the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he believed in God. He believed in the God of David, Abraham, Isaac. He believed. But now things are bad. Things are really, really bad. And he's sick to the point of dying. So Jerusalem has been under siege, and Isaiah the prophet comes to tell him that he is going to die. If this prophecy comes true, Hezekiah is going to die in the fullness of his manhood without an heir to the throne. Now, some scholars would even suggest that the king's illness and what was going on in Israel were kind of tied together. Nation sick, king is sick. The prophet tells him to get his affairs in order because he's about to die, and so is Jerusalem. Can you imagine? He's laying on his bed and he is devastated. He's devastated. Now, Hezekiah had been busy. He had been a very, what we call maybe a fruitful king. As I mentioned, he purified and repaired the temple. He had purged it of its idols. He had reformed the priesthood, and he had worked to reestablish relationships by actually resuming the Passover pilgrimage and the tradition of inviting the scattered tribes of Israel to take part in the Passover festival. So he's been busy. So, knowing that Jerusalem was eventually probably going to be under siege, he had been preparing for war, and he had taken time to fortify the walls of Jerusalem. He built towers. He constructed a tunnel. Many of you have probably heard of Hezekiah's tunnel. And that tunnel was to bring fresh water to the city from the spring outside of its walls. So to lay it out, Jerusalem was under siege, which is the temple of the Lord. And the temple of the Lord is under siege. Remember, our bodies are also the temple of the Lord. So I would go along with some scholars to say that, yes, maybe this does kind of tie together. The prophet Isaiah tells him, get your affairs in order. What does this mean? What does this mean for Hezekiah? Oh, with all sorts of things happening and all manner of responsibilities to be delegated, notice what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. The scripture says he turns his face to the wall. Now, yes, he is in despair, but he wants to have that private moment with God without the distractions. My daughter will testify to the fact that there are times when I am working and I do the thing as she's talking at me. And that is me saying, I have to focus on this right now. I cannot focus on two things at once. And I think that's what Hezekiah did. So he turns his face to the wall. He can't let anything keep him from having that moment with God. And he humbly and he privately prays. And then the scripture tells us that he wept bitterly. So his heart is full of need in God. So here's what else he does. He believes the words of God's prophet. So Hezekiah is doing some things right now before anything else. First, he believes the words of God's prophet. So he believes what God is saying. Then he remembers that God is the source of all life. Okay, so he could be scooting around, taking care of things, you know, finding a doctor, you know, please help me. But no, he ties himself to God. He turns first to God before anyone or anything else, and then he states his case before God and asks for grace. So I believe that getting his affairs in order to him meant that he needed to start first with talking to God with no other distractions, which is why in his fragile state he turns his face to the wall. And he was in the habit of talking to God. We know that Hezekiah was a man that was close to God. He was in the habit of listening to God through his prophets. He was in the habit of believing in God. And God told him what? God told him to watch for a sign. And he told him what that sign would be. How often in our world do we talk to God and actually listen to what he has to say? How often do we actually look for the signs? Let's have the next slide, please. What's keeping us from actually noticing those signs? Once in a while, have you seen a sign from God? He gives us those signs, but you know what I think keeps us from seeing them? Because God sends them. Distractions. Distractions in our mind, so internal and external. So God tells Hezekiah that he would restore both Hezekiah and Jerusalem. And God gives him a sign that time is actually going to kind of turn back. Now, in reflecting on this story of the leader concerned for his city, I thought about my own personal state, which has been a state of challenged distraction. It feels sometimes like I have a band playing in my head. And I know in talking with some of you, it's the same thing. We've got a ton of stuff going on. This world is constantly bombarding us with blah, 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 everything. Everything, everything. Who's got busy brain when they fall asleep at night? Yeah. So I was reflecting about my personal state, and I'll tell you, sometimes when writing sermons, I'll confess, I'm writing, I have a brain block, so I go to look up another scripture and, oh, Facebook. Which reminds me, when I see somebody's picture, I needed to get back to them on an email, which reminds me that I was supposed to be working on something else that I needed to get done before I finished my sermon. And you see where this goes. That is not a good state to be in. Now, as far as our church goes, now I know last week was fantastic, practically standing room only, and I was so happy to see so many back with us, but today, and I know that there is, the crud is going around, as we call it, but there was a decline last fall that continued over the winter. We saw some empty seats, and I thought, what is going on? So there's a decline in my spirit with personal struggles and the struggle to keep our church from falling under siege. Both of those things were depleting my spirit. And we are, as a church in the grand scheme of things, falling under siege. And I know that Reverend Carlson will attest to that. We are under siege from growing apathy towards God. We are under siege from life competing for attention in the form of sports and vacations and school events and downtime. The church is under siege. So I took a cue from Hezekiah by deciding I needed to stop building tunnels and walls, and I needed to turn my face to the wall. I needed to separate myself from the distractions on a very real level. I needed to model what we have been talking about in our previous sermon series. I needed to practice that simplicity. I needed to model prioritized time with God. And then I needed the space to listen. Which is not something I think is just for me. I wanted to model that for you. So I scheduled time away at Holy Wisdom Monastery, which is just, it's just 6 miles down the road, and it is beautiful. I'm so glad we have this resource. It is run by the Benedictine Sisters, and it is a place where if you wanted to go and just renew your spirit, you can go. You can participate with them during daily prayers. You can walk the trails. It is absolutely gorgeous. Next slide, please. Now, they have bells that ring 5 minutes before each assembly, and they have different services. They have Tazze services, which are very quiet and contemplative. They have regular prayer services. And they also have spiritual directors. If you're trying to figure out where to go in life, what am I supposed to be doing, or how can I reconnect with God, they have those spiritual directors on site. Next slide, please. So they have access to a little lake there. They have all these trails. And 9 days ago, this is what it looked like. It wasn't spring yet, before winter, before spring, before winter, which we have in Wisconsin. It was, actually, that day, it was upwards of 35, 37 degrees, so it was nice, you know, where you could get out and walk the trails. And I decided to check myself in to a hermitage, and they have these that are back in the woods, and I brought a whole bunch of stuff to get done. And I thought, okay, I can work on some sermon series, and I can work on the confirmation retreat, and I can answer back a whole bunch of emails, and I can get all this stuff done without the distractions. You see where this is going? So I get there, and I get comfortable, and I get organized, and I put my stuff where it needs to be, and I think, what should I do first? Okay, so daylight's... We only have this much in February, so maybe I should go for a hike. And if I go for a hike, where should I go for a hike to? And if I go for a hike, I don't want to go too far away or too long, because when the bells ring, I want to make sure that I get to prayer time. Or should I just stay here before I go to prayer time? Or maybe I should get my food packed away first. If I get my food packed away first before, but then I'm going to lose some daylight. But what if I'm out on the trail and I get hungry and then I don't have the food with me? So pretty soon I notice, that my head is pounding and my stomach is churning, and I'm thinking, oh no, not this, not the flu, not this weekend. No, this is not what I want to be dealing with. So I'm thinking my physical state was mirroring my mental state. So I thought, okay, what should I do? Let's write down the list of things we want to do and the list of things we need to do. And I thought, the first thing I need to do is go through my ministry calendar. So I sit down at the desk and I open my laptop, and there's no internet. There is no internet access. Oh man. I had a list this long of things I needed to do, and there's no internet access. So I'm now starting to shake a little bit. And I'm thinking, okay, just calm down. How can we do this weekend without internet access? How am I supposed to get things done? So I'm starting to stress out. My stomach is still starting to churn. My headache is getting worse. And I'm getting very, very restless. So I make myself some tea. And I sit down with my cup of tea, and I see a binder that is sitting on the desk. And the binder says, what to do on retreat. I'm thinking, good, because I don't know where to start. It says, first, be quiet. Huh. It says, practice mindfulness. Isn't that what I just spent the last, 6 weeks talking about, was how to do mindfulness? Wasn't I teaching you all that? And listen to your body's cues. What is your body telling you? So I clutched my mug of tea and I thought, I'm in rehab. I have no internet. I am not able to busy myself with the 400 things that I wanted to busy myself with. I have to detox. I have to detox from the busyness. Oh my gosh. Now, and I realized that it's a disease. The busyness and the mental noise is a disease. Wow, talk about the thing that separates us from God. It's an addiction. It was, for me, I realized, a literal addiction. Even though I am so anti-technology, at least with other people, it was keeping me from God. That was supposed to be my date, my weekend, my loving weekend away with God. Think about a romantic getaway. That's what this was supposed to be. And here I brought all sorts of things that would keep me from experiencing God's presence. Mental, physical, spiritual distractions. What are we addicted to that keeps us from God's love? Now, I realize that being spiritually fit is not like a once and done thing, like having a healthy body. So you eat right and you exercise, and then you spend the rest of the time on the couch, because now I've done those things. I should be good. It's a constant. It's a lifestyle. It's a practice. It's a practice. And if we get out of practice, I'm here to tell you, what happened to me is what happens. Soon we get addicted to those things that keep us going. And we forget to quiet ourselves. Having a relationship with God is akin to developing and nurturing any relationship. It requires time, and it requires nurture. I pray today that as you look within and identify the disease or the addictions that you have, that you will pray and ask God to break you free from them so that you can connect with Him first. I pray that you will take the time and the courage to turn your face toward the wall and eliminate the distractions so that you can hear God's still quiet voice. My name is Kristen Lowe, and I am 9 days thankful for my renewed relationship with God. Amen.